Holy Spirit, take my words and speak to each of us according to our need. Amen. Please sit. Merry Christmas. So a few weeks ago, I was mentioning to Rev Lisa that if one were to make a bingo card for my sermons, one of the squares would be quoted Madeline Lingle. And some of you know my sermons well enough to know that this is, in fact, true. She is one of my favorite authors and one of my favorite Episcopalians. Most of the time, though, when I quote her, I am quoting a poem or one of her many works of nonfiction. But today I want to talk about what is maybe her most well-known book, which is her 1962 young adult novel, A Wrinkle in Time. If you need a refresher, A Wrinkle in Time tells the story of a brother, Charles Wallace, a sister, Meg, and a friend, Calvin, who go on a journey through time and space to rescue Charles Wallace and Meg's father and to save the world. So, you know, a big, high-stakes plot line. And really, story of light shining into darkness and light working against the powers of darkness in the world and in the cosmos. So Charles Wallace, Meg, and Calvin are helped along by their otherworldly friends, Mrs. Who, Mrs. What's-It, and Mrs. Witch. And they speak to them about these powers of darkness and the powers of light that are working against them. And over the course of the story, the children see the powers of darkness taking over worlds. It's this sort of scary image of darkness enveloping a world and sort of taking over that world. And then they see it over the planet Earth. So this is a journey through time and space. They're looking down at planet Earth, and they see this darkness wrapping around the Earth, and they say, "What's happening? I don't like this. I hate this. What is this?" And their guides say, "This is evil. This is the power of darkness." And Calvin, the friend, wanting to know how the story is going to end, says, "Well, what's going to happen?" And they say, "We will continue to fight it. Not guaranteeing that they'll win, but whatever happens, we will continue to fight." And they chime in, "You know, some of the greatest fighters against the powers of darkness have come from your planet, have come from Earth." And they say, "Well, who? Who are those fighters?" And they begin by quoting something, "And the light shineth into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Sound familiar? Yeah. So it sounded familiar to Charles Wallace, too. He said, "Jesus, of course, Jesus. Jesus fought against the darkness." And then they go on to say, "Yes, and there were others, all of your great artists." And they name Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Bach, Beethoven, and scientists, Curie, Pasteur. They name Einstein, Shakespeare, Euclid, many more. I don't have them all memorized from the book, but it's a very long list. All of these people fought against the powers of darkness and continue to fight against the powers of darkness. We are these lights in the world fighting against the powers of darkness. And it was actually this passage in the book that early on in its publication got A Wrinkle in Time banned from schools. The school system said, "You know, we don't like this. Here they name Jesus, and then they name all of these other people, and they're not on par with Jesus, so this book is unchristian, and we don't want it in our schools." And it seems a little silly to us looking back on it, but really what it's saying is not that others are on the par with the light that shines into the darkness and the darkness doesn't overcome it. It's saying that there are others who had the power to shine light into a dark world, to work against the powers of darkness and evil. And for me, this is really what Christmas and what the Incarnation are about. It's about God becoming human in a really unexpected and surprising way, a flash of light into a dark world. The world wasn't perfect, wasn't safe, wasn't easy when Jesus was born, just as it isn't perfect or safe or easy now. So with Jesus not here with us physically anymore, we are the hands and feet and eyes and hearts of Jesus in the world. And we have the same call to be lights shining into the powers of darkness. So a few of you may or may not remember last Christmas morning, I made you all participate in a practice that some churches do on Epiphany. It's called Star Words. And what it is you're going to have a souvenir from the service. Here in this basket, I have words, stars, little cutout stars with words on them. They're a little imperfect because I tried doing them on a cutting machine for the first time, but imperfection is also one of the words on here. And what I'll ask you to do in just a moment is I'll actually come around and have you just reach in and take one of these out and think about this word as a way that God might be speaking to your heart in this coming year about a way that you can be a light in the darkness of the world. It may be that it makes perfect sense to you right away. It may be that it doesn't make sense to you at all. We have a few younger members who are welcome to take a star or maybe take two stars. You can look up the word, or if it's a word that just doesn't really seem to apply to you right now, maybe a parent or a companion will trade their word with you. But otherwise, I encourage you to sort of take what you got and trust that the Spirit is at work in words in this way too, which seems a little crazy, maybe a little perfunctory, but there are words in here that maybe might speak to you immediately or might come to speak to you throughout the year or might be saying something that you really need to hear that you didn't know you needed to hear. So I'm going to come around with those, but I have a second souvenir in here also, which is a poem that I really love by Howard Thurman that's called The Work of Christmas. And it says, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart." This work of Christmas is the work to which we are called, and it is work that we can embrace as we go forward. And so I'll offer you one of these and one of the stars to select in just a moment. So here you go. I'll give you four of these.
So I'm going to ask, as Alyssa is continuing to pass these out, we have someone here who is not feeling well and not responding very well. And so I just ask your prayers. What is her name? Etty. Pray for Etty and her family as they call for some assistance and just continue to be present to God and to each other.
I thought I was going to keep talking while I did this, but it turns out I can't really talk and walk very well at the same time. Please pray with me. God, we thank you for the gift of your Son in the world. We thank you for all that this means for us. Please help your words to speak to our hearts, both the words on these stars, the words in our Bible, and the word, your Son. We also pray that you will be with Etta and give her your peace and power. And we pray that you will be with all of us on this Christmas day and help us to go forward from here with joy and courage to do your work. We ask this in your name. Amen.